You're listening to Saturday with Clare Byrne. You're very welcome to the programme now. We're joined by Padraig McLoughlin, Sinn Féin TD and Chairperson of the Oireachtas Committee on Public Oversight, who is in Derry today. Dominic Hannigan, Labour TD for Meath East, joins us from the Labour Party Conference. Michael Clifford, columnist and journalist with The Examiner, is with me in studio. And we're going to start with the big question of the week. Was the office of the Garda Ombudsman Commissioner bugged or not? Did the Minister for Justice tell the Dáil the full story or not? And what happens next? First of all, our reporter Barry Lenehan spoke to delegates at the Labour Party conference to get their views. The first voices that you will hear are those of Bill Stokes and Michael O'Sullivan.
My view is that it has been a lot of hot air from the GSOC end, I'm afraid. And for the people who are investigating or carrying out inquiries in relation to mishaps elsewhere, calls their ability into question.
Enda Kenny quoted legislation wrong 2 days in a row. Is that acceptable?
I think he'd probably obviously regret that. I think his advisors should have flagged the fact that, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't say anything.
It's quite disturbing, to be honest. I think it's disturbing. Whatever the details about the supposed bugging are a bit confusing, but it's certainly the case that there's a breakdown of relationships between GSOC and the department and the commissioner. I think that is worrying.
Councillor Kieran Byrne from Fingal County Council. I'm not sure Minister Shatter has handled it particularly well. He has his own particular style, which is quite confrontational, and I'm not sure that was the optimum way to approach this particular matter.
My name is Lorraine Mulligan. I'm the chairperson of the Labour Party.
Is what required now an independent inquiry, perhaps at a High Court judge?
Well, I think in fairness, that would be a vote of no confidence, really, and the GSOC are undertaking an inquiry now into the events, and that we should know the results of that inquiry.
Tony Heffernan, I'm a delegate from the Mount Mary and Kilmacud branch. I was formerly press officer for the Labour Party. I must say, looking at it from the outside, I don't think anyone has handled it very well. I don't think GSOC have handled it very well. I don't think the Garda Commission has handled it very well. And I have to say, I don't think the government and the Minister for Justice has handled it particularly well. It seems to be a mess. It's probably led to a deterioration in relations between the government and the Gardaí and GSOC, and I think myself that in the long term some sort of an outside independent investigation is required.
That's Barry Lenehan there talking to delegates at the Labour Party conference today about the Garda Ombudsman Commission and the question over whether it was bugged or not. Michael, I'm going to come to you first on this because you wrote a piece yesterday in The Examiner dealing with the government's handling of this and how it's been reported and so on. And you were detailing the attempts that were made during the week to make this about a completely different story, about, you know, why GSOC didn't report it to the minister, about who was leaking from GSOC, and not about the fact that they may have been bugged, or at least an attempt may have been made to bug it. Do you think the independence of the Garda Ombudsman Commission office has been affected in a negative way this week as a result?
I do. I think the most obvious sign of that is the fact that Simon O'Brien, after his first meeting with Alan Shatter on Monday to explain the story that had appeared in the Sunday Times, he came out of it and he openly said he regretted not telling the minister. And the whole body language involved in that, the whole tone that came out of the meeting, suggested that he had been effectively carpeted by the minister. Now, in the first instance, the commission does not report directly to the minister, it reports to the Oireachtas. So the whole line of management there was all off. It's not like the Garda Commissioner, for instance. But in any event, you couldn't imagine somebody, say, of the status of the Ombudsman for the State, Mr. Tyndall, I think it is, previously Emily O'Reilly, being subjected to that type of a summons and what appeared like a dressing down from a minister. So, I mean, I think that's definitely affected. Also, it's quite obvious there's been a concerted attempt in government, among the Gardaí, the senior management of the Gardaí, and in elements of the media, to deflect attention from the reality of this. And, you know, again, you have to look at the position of the Ombudsman in terms of its relationship with, first of all, the Minister for Justice, and secondly, with the Gardaí. That relationship has been, I think it would be fair to say, dysfunctional for a long time. And in that context, one can understand, however naive it may have been not to inform the minister when this first came to their attention last September, October, you can understand why they acted in the way that they did, because already they were on the back foot in terms of the minister's role as some form of adjudicating referee, you might say, between themselves and the Gardaí.
So perhaps the more pertinent question is, why didn't GSOC tell the minister about this being on their radar, that they were worried about this? What was the reason behind that? I mean, it does suggest that perhaps they didn't trust the minister. And I'm not saying that is the case, but it suggests that, and nobody has asked that question.
True. And, but to be fair to GSOC, there's also another element to it. If they were to go to the minister, and the indications we've been given is this security reports contains the rationale for having this security check in the first place. Mm-hmm. If that rationale points the fingers at members of the Gardaí, yet at the same time they do not have definitive proof, and it's been established, like, it's very difficult to have definitive proof. We have courts in this country, they never have definitive proof, and you can convict people. You know, it's a really, really high standard. But if they were to go to the minister, or if they were to go public with the inquiry they made, they would effectively have been pointing fingers at the Gardaí in a scenario whereby they didn't have complete proof that somebody in the Gardaí was responsible. Because remember, the other key to this that's often being forgotten, if somebody came in here and bugged RTE, for instance, you could have a million different suspect groups. The ombudsman is charged with one issue specifically, and that's to investigate Gardaí. So no matter what happened, Gardaí would be the prime suspect of any attempted surveillance on it. And if they were to point the finger in that way, by either going to the minister, and they knew that would go straight to the Gardaí, or going public, as some people have suggested they should have, that again would have deteriorated relations further between themselves and the Gardaí.
Okay, Páraic McLoughlin is with us as well, is in our Derry today. Sinn Féin TD, of course, and chairperson of the Oireachtas Committee. Now, Páraic, you're going to have to deal with Minister Alan Shatter next week. He's agreed to come before you to explain his role in all of this and the explanation he gave to the Dáil. What do you want to know?
Well, just to go back over the sequence of events the week that's just gone, we had a situation on after the report in the Sunday Times on Monday the 10th. Minister Shatter received an oral and a written briefing from GSOC. He then reported to the Dáil the next day. And you'll recall the famous phrase, completely baseless innuendo.
He said the Gardaí were subjected to completely baseless innuendo in this instance.
Yeah, so he gave an account that left certainly TDs that I was talking to afterwards thinking maybe there's nothing much to this really. Let's just see how it proceeds. Then we had that evening Kieran Fitzgerald, one of the GSOC commissioners, on prime time, revealing that phrase in relation to the conference call telephone unit, that the Veramus operator judged that the likelihood of the wrong number being called at that time in terms of being a coincidence was so small as to be at virtually zero. Now that's focused minds again. And then we had the next day, of course, the GSOC before our committee. And, you know, I think that most people watching form the view that on the balance of probabilities, they were the victims of a surveillance attack. And that should have been the focus the whole way through the week. Now, the difficulty now is that, and indeed you interviewed the minister on prime time there on Thursday evening, the minister says that he reflected entirely and fully the oral and written briefing he had received from GSOC. But, I mean, it's widely reported in the media in the last 24 hours there are significant differences between what he reported to the Dáil and what he was given by GSOC on Monday.
The minister knew, though, that report was going to be made public, because he himself told me on Thursday night that he had sent that report to your committee. So it was going to get into the public domain. Now, for him to say on Thursday night that he reflected accurately what was said in that report, and now we see that there were some pretty stark differences between what he said in the Dáil and what's contained in the report, I don't know if anybody can offer an explanation apart from him as to why he might have done that and said that.
Well, that'll be an important focus for our committee next Wednesday, and the public will have the chance. You know, it'll start at 4 o'clock. It'll last a good few hours, no doubt. And he will be probed intensively by our committee. And indeed, other Oireachtas members are entitled to attend. It's not like the Public Accounts Committee. Others can join too. And he will have to explain what are obviously, and it's widely reported in the media, significant differences between what he presented. The most obvious one is that, as I say, he said any suggestion of Garda involvement was completely baseless innuendo, yet he was given information by GSOC on Monday that they had on 8th October 2013 commenced a public interest investigation, Section 1024 of the Garda Síochána Act, and that is to say that such surveillance may, and that's an important word, may have originated with an Garda Síochána. He didn't report that to the Dáil. So, as I say, you know, in fairness to the Minister, he will have an opportunity to explain all of this next Wednesday, and we look forward to it.
Dominic Hannigan, Pat Rabbit said yesterday on RT Radio that he wasn't sure how Commissioner Martin Callanan could give assurances that no rogue element within the Gardaí was involved here. Do you agree? I mean, how could he possibly know?
Well, just to say, just for clarity there, I think what Pat said was he didn't have the technical competence or the knowledge, the internal knowledge that the Garda Commissioner would have to understand what the Garda Commissioner had said. The Garda Commissioner has got the ability to carry out investigations, to receive information, confidential information on these things. So I'm sure the Garda Síochána Commissioner has made that decision on the basis of all of the information that he has. I think the fundamental thing here, Claire, is, as Padraig McLaughlin said, it's the fact that most members in the House do believe that some sort of surveillance was carried out on the offices of GSOC. I heard Simon O'Brien in the committee on Wednesday evening, and he said, and I quote, he said, "I certainly suggest that we may have been under some sort of surveillance. For me, the issue isn't whether or not he instigated a report here or there, whether or not he told the minister. The issue is very clear here, Claire. It's, has there been surveillance, and if so, have we rectified the situation so that the offices of GSOC, a very, very important pillar in our democratic system, the offices of GSOC have to be protected, have to be secure so that they can carry out their work independently and they can carry out their work thoroughly."
Okay, but would you agree that the government just wants this to go away? We've seen how it was handled during the week, all of the focus on, you know, why didn't GSOC tell the minister? Who was leaking the information from GSOC? When, as you say, the real problem is that an attempt at least was made to spy on GSOC.
Yeah, I do think it's been a messy week. There's no doubt about that. And I don't think anybody has covered themselves in glory from this episode. We do have the opportunity on Wednesday next in the Dáil during the committee process to ask the minister for his views on some of these issues. I've no doubt, I know Padraig of old. Padraig is a very thorough politician. He's an excellent chair. I've no doubt that him, ably supported by people like Derek Nolan, Michael McCarthy, a lot of experienced backbenchers on that committee, will be able to go through the issues here and to get some sort of clarity from Minister Shatter. It's in nobody's interest, not the government's interest, not the opposition's interest, to close this down without learning lessons. We have to make sure that this body is independent and retains the respect of the Irish public. And we need to do what we need to make sure that what we do next week and in the coming weeks bolsters their ability to retain public confidence.
Is it damaged beyond repair, do you think, GSOC? We heard what Michael Clifford had to say.
Absolutely
about
not.
being carpeted by the minister and so on. I mean, GSOC isn't answerable to the minister, it's answerable to the heads of the Oireachtas.
And you know, my party, people like Pat Rabbit, people like Brendan Howland, were instrumental in setting up GSOC. We see the absolute need for them to retain their independence, integrity and the trust of the Irish people. So I don't think it's damaged beyond repair. And actually, I took great heart from the meeting that Simon O'Brien had with Martin Callanan on Thursday night, whereby they came out of the meeting agreeing that they're going to work together, they're going to learn lessons and that they know that it's in the public interest and it's in the country's interest that they work together.
Michael, I want to ask you about something Martin Callanan said at the ceremony in Templemore yesterday. The pigeons have come home to roost. Explain what you believe he meant by that.
Well, I presume he's referring to GSOC in terms of
how they handle their information.
How they handle their information, and this had always been a worry, he says, for members of the Gardaí, and this basically was an example of how it happened. How that sits with his knowledge that nobody in the 13,000 strong force could possibly have been involved in that strikes me as very unusual. Of course, I would accept totally the Commissioner's statement that there was nothing authorised because he would have to authorise it. But how does he know that no element within the force is capable of engaging in that type of activity unknownst to him? Mm-hmm. I just don't see it, to be honest with you. But like the Dominic was talking there about Labour Party were involved in setting up the Ombudsman. And you see, this whole bogey thing is more symptom than disease. The disease is the lack of political will to ensure that there's a proper overseer of the Gardaí through the Ombudsman's office. And it has to be put in context. This country was late coming to a situation whereby you had an overseeing body on the Gardaí. That you can attribute largely to the troubles in the north, the position the Gardaí had, and let it be said, a number of Gardaí lost their lives as a result of the troubles in the north. But that's why we came late to it. If you look at it compared to other jurisdictions where they had bodies like this brought in throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s. Now, once it was brought in the aftermath of Donegal, which turned out to be some woeful corruption, we were under the impression that a new dispensation was here, whereby you would have this overseer, you would have commensurate powers, everything. But all that we have seen since it was set up indicates that the political will is not there to ensure that it's a proper overseeing body. And in the smallest example, the first chairman of the commissioners was High Court Judge Kevin Haugh, the late Kevin Haugh. Currently it's Mr. O'Brien. I think Mr. O'Brien's a highly competent individual, absolutely. But could you imagine for a second a Minister for Justice carpeting a High Court Judge in the manner that he did Mr. O'Brien? I couldn't. So you see, even the status of the body has effectively been reduced incrementally in various ways like that. And again, we saw last year when there was disputes over access to Pulse, when there was an issue as to whether GSOC would have the type of surveillance be included in the surveillance legislation of the Criminal Justice Act, they were excluded from that. Incrementally, I think it has been shown that the political will is not there to have GSOC properly enforced with the legislation and the powers that it needs to properly oversee the police.
Pádraig McLoughlin, can I come to you again? We know you're going to talk to the minister next week at the committee. Is there anybody else you need to speak to, do you think?
Well, we came together in private session after the evidence given by the commissioners as a committee, and we talked about all different options. So what we've agreed to do for now, well, as you know, we conveyed our grave concerns. There were serious questions. We agreed two things. First was to obviously bring in the minister. And then secondly, we've requested an unredacted copy of the Veramis security report on a confidential basis for our committee to look at. But we're not ruling out any other decisions. I mean, there's a range of choices we can make. But after the minister's been before us, we will convene again in private session and decide our next steps.
OK, we'll leave that one there. Just a note, a footnote at the end, though, that Conor Brady, the former Garda Ombudsman, is writing in the Irish Times today. It's a really fascinating piece. He says that there's little doubt that someone bugged or tried to bug GSOC. They went for the fourth floor where rank and file staff don't have access. It's a good read. Back in just a moment.